This is the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker, sharing real life stories and experiences. Why Your Story is produced by SVI Media and available on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app. And now, from the SVI Media Studios located in scenic Star Valley, Wyoming, here's Travis and Mary Jo with the Why Your Story podcast.
Welcome to Why Your Story. I'm your host, Travis Osmond.
And I'm Mary Jo Parker, your hostess.
And we are coming to you from the beautiful home of SVI Media, where we talk a little bit about everything, anything, and a little bit more. Anyway, well, let's brighten everybody's day today with a really cool podcast, should we?
Absolutely.
What are we going to talk about today?
Things that go bump in the night.
Is this a Sasquatch or is that for another?
That's another one.
Oh, okay. Because I know we talked about that in one of the earlier episodes. I'm excited to nail Sasquatch one of these days. I got my nose fixed and now my mouth won't work.
Oh, okay.
So I'll have to work on that next time. Well, kick us off. Let's talk a little about things that go bump in the night.
All righty. You know, growing up, my grandma, who was very wise and really funny, she had the greatest stories. She was the coolest lady, like most grandmas are. She would tell me, always, always watch your back and be careful and don't trust anybody. And so she would say, if you ever end up in a car, it's too late. If you don't have some kind of protection, like your voice screaming or, you know, your keys, it's too late. And so I grew up with a story that she was out in her chicken coop and she was married by then and had grown boys. And a Native American from the community where she lived down in southern Utah, he was in the chicken coop. And she didn't see him until it was too late, and he slammed the door and put a knife up to her throat and told her to, you know, that he was going to, what he was going to do. And so she thought, I've got to use my brain to get out of the situation. So there was these little cracks in the chicken coop, like most chicken coops have little slabs of wood and you can look between. And she kind of looked down and she says, Oh, my son. And he dropped the knife enough to look through. And that's when she stepped on the tops of his feet, took her hands and clapped his ears, grabbed the knife, and then threw him on the ground. And just said, you know, you ever come in here again and you know what?
Are you kidding me? That's for real?
That's for real.
And this happened in a chicken coop?
Mm-hmm. Down in southern Utah in this little town called Kanosh. And so I grew up with that story, you know, and she was just like, always be careful. You know, you never know, because I was an older woman by then and I just had no idea. So that's what I've done.
How old was your grandma at this time?
I think she was probably like 45.
And was she just like out gathering eggs?
Yeah. Yeah, she was out feeding the chickens and stuff.
And a stranger, did she know who he was?
Yeah, she knew the reservation was maybe 10 miles from where she lived. And so, there's not that many up there.
Oh, my gosh.
Live up there. So, yeah, crazy.
That is crazy. Well, wonder, was he hungry? I mean, was he just in there to get a chicken or an egg
or
something?
No, he was in there to get her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a scary deal.
Really scary. Yeah.
That's good advice. So I have talked to my girls at home, and I've told them, you know, if a stranger stops or tries to force you into their car, you don't get in the car. If you're going to die in this whole situation, let's die where you're on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the last thing you want to be done to you is taken away and tortured or whatever is going to happen to you somewhere else. So I think your grandma was spot on.
She was.
You fight right there. The minute you know something's in trouble, you fight. You do not let them get you in your car. And if not, you die trying.
Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Absolutely. When I was 13, I took sewing lessons up in Bountiful, and I usually waited for my mom to come pick me up and, you know, when I was done. Well, this particular day, I just decided, well, I'll meet her. I'll come down Center Street, a little above Center Street, and then I'll meet her, and then I'll save her the rest of the way up this hill. So I started walking, and this car pulled over, and he said, hey, are you Debbie? And I looked at him, and I was like, no. And I started my steps a little quicker. And he just stayed alongside of me the whole time with the window rolled down. And he goes, Debbie, get in the car. I said, I'm not Debbie. And then my feet got to a jog stage. And then he picked up the gas and the pace and just stayed right alongside of me. So I ran. Then I was to a trot and running stage. And so I started running. And my uncle lived just about a block away. So I thought, I'll run down that road that he's off Center Street. And, you know, hopefully my uncle's home and I can get some help. Still remembering what my grandmother had said. And the whole time he's just telling me to get in the car, get in the car. And so meanwhile, my mom drives past and she doesn't see me at all. And so she goes up to the sewing lessons thinking, you know, I'm up there waiting. Right. And so I goes running down the road, and right next to my dad's house, or my uncle's house, was a family loading up to go to family home evening. And there was like six kids and mom and dad. And I just jumped right in that car because they were, you know, stopped, you know, getting the rest of the kids in. And I just started crying and screaming. I said, this man's after me. He thinks I'm Debbie. I'm not Debbie. You know, and I'm freaking out. And so then the guy pulls up behind him. And now I'm like completely out of control, 13-year-old girl. So the husband of the family, he got out and went back to talk to the guy. Well, come to find out, there was a girl not too far from where my sewing lessons were, and she had abused her mom. And I fit the description: long blonde hair, Levi's, blue shirt. And she was about 15 years old. So I fit that description, and he assumed I was her. He just assumed it. And so he left. And meanwhile, my mom now came down to check to see if I was at my uncle's, which, you know, I gave her the whole story. And she was just livid that the guy never showed me his credentials. He, you know, and I was, I freaked this whole little family out. I freaked myself out. So we went down and, you know, talked to him and, you know.
Scary.
Yeah, very, very scary. And I know I did what was right.
You bet. Yeah. Oh, what a good lesson learned there. I mean, you feel scared or threatened like that, you got to get out.
Absolutely.
You got to move your feet and get out of those situations and get to somebody that can help you. Especially, you know, if you're feeling vulnerable in a situation and you feel like there's a chance someone's going to take advantage of your vulnerability, get out.
Absolutely.
Don't sit and talk to them. Don't try to figure it out. Just get out. Move your feet and get out of there.
That's right.
When I was a kid, I like to tell this story. I was home alone and I had my younger brothers and sisters with me. And my parents had this like really sophisticated alarm system, but it was a silent alarm. And so anyway, it was about 11 o'clock at night. My parents were gone. I was staying in my mom and dad's room because that's where you had to be to activate the alarm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, about 1:30 in the morning or so, the panel on the alarm starts beep, beep. And on our alarm system, you could look at it and you could see where the alarm has been tripped. And so it was tripped on an outside garage door by our garage. And my initial thought was, well, it's my dog. It's our dog or something, you know, that's opened the door. But then I saw the door that comes in from the garage into the laundry room open.
Oh, no.
And then from our laundry room into the kitchen, that door opened.
Oh, wow.
And it's 1:30 in the morning. I'm 11 years old. And I've got five younger siblings with me.
Wow.
Scared me to death. So obviously the alarm company is calling our phone at home. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. I knew I was in trouble. I picked up the phone and it was, I don't know, AT&T alarms or something like that. And they're like, hey, we've received a house alarm. Are you guys okay? I said, no, somebody's in our house. Somebody's breaking into our house. Just then, I saw there was a double doors that opened up in our hallway toward that comes down to our bedrooms, and they opened.
Oh, wow.
Yes. and then I on the phone, I saw that my dad was trying to call. So they had apparently called my dad's phone too. So I hung up with the alarm company and picked up the phone with my dad. And he's like, son, are you okay? I just got a call from the alarm company. I said, no, somebody's in the house.
Oh, wow.
And he said, Travis, get your siblings, lock them all in the bathroom, you know, in our bathroom, and just hang tight, you know. So, and we did. And we didn't see anything. But the sheriffs, when they rolled up, they saw two guys running out of our door down the road into the cornfield. That we lived right next to this big cornfield, and they never did catch them. But
wow,
scary.
Yeah,
things
really
are real.
Scary. Yeah,
but you know, we lived back then. You know, even though we lived in a cornfield by a cornfield, I mean, we were still in quite a populated area. It wasn't real rural like we are here in Star Valley at times. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think people would have to be really brazen to try to break into a home here in Star Valley, even though I know it happens.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thefts that go on from what I understand, which is unfortunate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I would think that the gun carrying populace here in Wyoming wouldn't put up with that crap for very long.
I don't think so.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So what do you do? Let's say, what do you do? You wake up and you realize somebody's in your home. What do you do?
Steve's uncle was, that happened to him and his wife. And this guy had gone down and gone in his girl's room and taken some trinkets, went in his boy's room, taken some trinkets. And they were adult kids. I mean, they were teenagers and older. And then he went in. And so his uncle woke up and his wife was completely in shock. She couldn't talk at all. And his uncle, Norman, that never says anything. I mean, he's just this quiet, sweet guy. He looks at the guy and he goes, "Do you think your heavenly father is proud of you?" And his wife looks, yeah. And his wife looks over at him and I'm like, "No way. No, he did not say that." She goes, "He did." And he said, "You put that gun down. He loves you and you don't need to be doing this." And he goes, "All right." And he throws the gun down and he takes off.
Oh my goodness.
And so of course they call the police. Well, it was winter. And the cops came, followed the tracks, the footsteps, a couple blocks down, and there was a garage full of stolen items, and they arrested the guy. Now, would I have said that? No. I wish I could come up with something fast and clever, but...
Oh, my goodness. What a good story.
I know.
I mean, at least the man had a heart, you know, and a conscience.
Conscience, yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that's probably a rarity you see in those kind of people. But I guess you never know. But I don't think that would be the first thing out of my mouth.
No.
I tend to think that I've gone over this scenario a bunch in my head. But if I were to wake up and knew somebody was in my house, I mean, well, first of all, I am a strong believer in the Second Amendment.
Correct.
And I'm loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if I felt my kids or my wife were being threatened by something, I think it would end badly for the
person.
They'd have to come through me to get to my kids, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that'd be a real problem. I don't know if I would be, "Hey, are you choosing the right here?" You know?
I know, right?
I'd probably send one right through his gut and then ask him, "Do you want another one here, Pilgrim?"
I love it. Pilgrim.
Do you feel lucky, punk?
Make my day.
Anyway, I hate to joke about that, but there is a lot of truth to that. I mean, if they're in your house while you're sleeping, you know, what is their true intent? You know, are they trying to rob you? Because generally speaking, I would think if they're going to try to rob you, they're probably going to try to rob you when they know you're not home.
Yeah.
So if they're in your house while you're there and your kids are sleeping there, you know, to me, that's a whole different ballgame.
I agree.
I would feel very threatened at that point.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, scary deal. That's a scary thing. And I know there's people in our valley probably that's had that experience, you know, and it'd be kind of neat to hear some of their stories they've had over the years.
I agree. And what they would do. One time I was coming home from work on the freeway, this car full of guys, you know, drove up to the side of me and I waved at them and they waved at me. And well, they waved at me first. I waved back and not, you know, didn't even think anything of it. Next thing I know, now they're pushing me off the road. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So I took the exit for the house. And I lived in a subdivision that didn't really have anything around it but fields. And so I drove to the police station and laid on the horn.
Ugh.
And they, of course, did a little donut in the road and took off. And that was the best thing to do was, you know, go to a public place and lay on the horn.
You bet.
Because, you know, they're not going to follow you there.
Absolutely.
So.
Very good call. Very good call. Woo. Scary stuff.
Very scary.
Let's... talking about scary things, do you like to scare people? I mean, do you like not so much Halloween, but like pranking people to scare them?
Yeah.
How about this? Do you, like, when you're home at night and it's really raining and lightning and stuff, does that bother you, wind on your doors and stuff?
No.
Doesn't bother you?
Not unless I'm alone.
Okay, so let's just say you're home alone and the wind is really blowing and it's lightning and cracking and the wind or the rain is on your window sills.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a scary thing?
Yeah, that is.
Does it?
Yeah.
I love it. I know that there's lots of people out there that do. That really freaks them out. And I think the big element is being alone.
Yeah, I think so too. Like when you go down the basement, it's not going down the basement for me. It's coming up those stairs. I don't know why, but I feel like somebody's right behind me going up the stairs.
Are you a watcher of scary horror movies?
Yeah, I like them. I don't like the ones that are just stupid because, you know,
I've never seen a stupid horror movie. Everything that I've seen is just scares the crap out of me.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
So do you watch them?
I don't. I'm not a watcher.
Yeah, my husband won't watch them either.
The problem is I've seen like two or three of them back in my younger years,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what it's a sheer terror.
Yeah.
For me, you know, and I'm just like, holy crap, someone needs to shoot this guy and like shoot him and bury him and be done with it. And I always wonder why they don't get shot earlier, because if someone was acting like that around my town, he's going to get shot. So
absolutely.
Anyway, scary things like that drive me crazy. But I absolutely love scaring people.
Really?
Oh, it is my favorite thing to do. I have a few stories to share.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes,
yes,
please do.
And the problem is most of my scary things, my brothers take the brunt of it.
Oh no.
And so I have to share these two stories. So one night we were camping. All of my scary stories come camping, most of them.
And that is scary anyway.
But it is, you know, because, you know, it depends on how many nights you've spent in the hills. Most people, I would wager, when they go in the hills and they're staying in a tent, probably think a lot about things that go bump in the night.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this little brother, Troy, bless his heart. He passed away last year.
Oh,
and he passed away and I love him to death and I miss him. But I have some of my greatest memories scaring my brother, Troy.
Oh.
And I'm sure he's going to haunt me from the other side. But we were camped on one of our favorite camping spots, and we were in a tent. And it was a big 6-man tent, and there was several of us staying in the tent. My wife was in there, Troy, myself, my brother Justin. Anyway, bless his little heart. He's just such an innocent little kid. I was probably 22 at the time, and he was probably 12, maybe 11.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was sitting there, and I was outside of the tent. I had to go take care of business outside the tent. It was probably midnight. We had just got done telling scary stories around the campfire about bears and stuff. Anyway, so I'm outside the tent, and I look, and he had the lantern on inside the tent, and I could see, and he was kind of like, I think he was saying his prayers, honestly, by his bed, and his head was right next to the tent. So I snuck up there right outside the tent, and I was just being ever so quiet. All of a sudden, I just reached to the tent and grabbed his head.
Oh,
oh my word. He screamed so bad. I laughed about that for years to come after that. I mean, it was known far and wide as the greatest scare prank ever in our family.
It's so awesome.
For a long time. Do you have any of those?
Oh, for sure. One time I was at a girls' camp and they were telling scary stories, and I had one of those big plastic red bats. And I was back there with a friend of mine and her daughter, and you know, they were getting to the scary part, and so I'm kind of scratching the bark with the bat. Well, I didn't know my friend Karen had gone behind me, and so I went to swing around to hit that tree really hard, and right then I swung it and I hit her in the head, and I knocked her down, and she rolled down the mountain. We were laughing so hard.
Oh, that's...
But I still scared the girls. They were still screaming. It was like, I love to scare people too.
Oh, it's the greatest.
Yeah, unless you're the person that gets scared.
And I really do. So that's probably not fair of me, but when I get scared, I get mad.
Oh.
Yeah, so I am not a good reciprocator of scariness. So I love to scare people, but I absolutely hate being scared.
Oh, I remember that.
Because my sympathetic system, my fight or flight fires up, and I am a fighter.
Okay.
So I rise to the occasion real fast when I get scared. But this next story, I I hope all my listeners will bear with me because it's the funniest thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
Really?
And I have a real hard time telling the story and then let alone listening to it because I actually got this one on tape.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to set it up here. I'm going to set up the scenario.
This is great.
We were camping again. We love to camp. My brothers and I, in fact, we were elk hunting. And we had a friend of ours with us. His name is Evan. And during the elk hunt, the opening night, my brother Justin had to go outside and call his wife, just to check in with his wife.
Uh-huh.
So while he's out, and it's pitch black. Got to keep in mind, it's pitch black outside.
Right.
So while he's talking to his wife, I sneak up around the trees, and I just come barreling out of the trees like a bear. And you can actually hear me in the background woofing like a bear. And I grab a hold of Justin's leg and just start ripping the crud out of his pants and stuff.
Oh, no.
And it's all caught on audio. So I'm gonna play that for our listeners here, and I've got it all set up here.
Okay.
So let me just
find it. Does he scream like a little girl?
Well, I'm not even gonna preface this.
All right.
Until everybody has a chance to listen to it. So I'm gonna turn on the audio here, and we're gonna let this roll.
Travis has ended up.
Okay, there it is. So here it is. I asked Evan to record this.
Okay.
So here we go.
So Travis has ended up to sneak up and scare Justin. Can't see anything, but I'm gonna video for the sound.
Okay, it's pitch black. Remember that.
Okay.
Okay, here it comes. Okay, so you heard that, right? Did everybody hear what just happened? You hear me come sneaking out of there. Okay, I got to do this one more time. Just for all of our listeners, this is the greatest 5 seconds I've ever audio collected. And you hear him get mad at me after. Evan is laying on the ground laughing. I'm laying on the ground laughing. I mean, how can you beat that when you have your brother so vulnerable out there in the dark blackness like that?
Oh, wow.
Scared the living tar out of him.
I bet. Did he try to get you back?
No.
Oh,
he didn't.
Okay.
But I honestly don't think he slept a wink that. I mean, he was just shaking.
No.
He was for sure that a bear got him.
Oh, wow. You are so bad. Okay. You better watch out.
Oh, I love it.
That is so, so funny. I love it. And to have it on tape, you know.
Bless his heart. Yeah. And now everybody that wants to listen to my brother Justin scream like a little girl can. This is so great.
How much older are you than him?
I am 18 months older than my brother.
Okay. So you guys are pretty
but
tight.
I'm much more handsome.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
He's a lot less... What would you say? He has less meat than I
okay.
do.
Alrighty.
So he's thinner, yes, and runs much faster. And sometimes it's really hard when he makes me mad. I can't catch him.
Yeah.
But I'm patient.
Okay.
And I will catch him eventually.
Or do something like
that.
He
has
you
to
did.
Come for dinner every now and again.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
Oh, good times.
That's so funny. I remember one time we had to call. We were up at Monte Cristo. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, I do.
I love that place. And our girls' camp was up there, and we had to call for some more provisions to come up. And so my assistant and I went down to call, and we went to this bar, and it was getting dark. And so we were calling on a payphone, and this guy drove up, and he just sat there and just stared at us, and he kept his sunglasses on, and it was getting dark. And Jen's like, "What do you think he's doing?" I'm like, "I don't know." And so we just, you know, kind of did our order and over the phone, and I said, "We better tell somebody that this guy," and give him the license plate number that he's stalking us. And so we did, and you know, we're finishing up our call, and then he got out of his car. And so we both took off screaming and got in the car. And the guy's like, "What? I needed to use the payphone."
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh,
we're like, oh, I guess he wasn't stalking us. He was wanting to use the phone.
Too many scary movies for you.
Too many.
Doggone it. Well, this has been pretty fun.
It's really fun.
Do you have anything else to add to things that go bump in the night for this first?
No, I just think you should listen to your grandma. And if she's got those stories and those wise tales to, you know, you better be careful.
And if anybody has any good audio like that of scaring somebody else, we would love to hear it. Until then, we will sign off from this podcast. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your hostess, Mary Jo Parker.
And we will catch you on the flip side. Thanks.
Ciao, bella.
Thanks for joining us for the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker on SVI Media. To suggest topics or reach out to Travis and Mary Jo, email WYS@SVINews.com. That's WYS@SVINews.com. And be sure to follow Why Your Story on Facebook. Stay tuned for the next Why Your Story podcast on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app.